From April. All right. So I would like to request a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I'll
All
second.
right. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. All right. So we are on to the Giselle, do we have any public comments?
We do not.
Okay. And then it looks like any disclosures or recusals, sorry. Seeing none, on to new business. So it looks like the 50K hearing training. Adriana, is that you and Ben?
Yes, that would be me.
Okay, awesome.
So I'll just introduce myself and then I'll go through some of the training materials. I didn't see that they were attached to the agenda, but I'm happy to share them. I'll share my screen with you and then I can share those with you after the meeting. So I'm Adriana Piguero. I'm one of the assistant city attorneys and I advise this commission and I advise the appeals committee when the appeals committee meets. And I've been doing this for a number of years. So I've worked with quite a few of you, with most of you probably actually, because I know most of you have sat on this appeals committee before. And so Assistant City Attorney Ben Becker is also here. And so I'll just explain a little bit about our different roles. So I advise the commission, and during the hearing, Assistant City Attorney Becker will act as the attorney for the department. So I'll go into this a little bit more later, but these are quasi-judicial hearings. So they are similar to a trial. So if we think about like the, you know, you're kind of, most people are familiar with like what a trial looks like, right? And you sort of, this committee will act as the judge. And so I'm the attorney that advises you, and Attorney Becker is the attorney that advises the department, which kind of acts as the prosecutor. So they are in a role to try to prove the case to you, essentially that the contractor violated the ordinance by not submitting an approved affirmative action plan. And so during the hearing, if there are any questions that come up, or even, you know, prior to the hearing, after the hearing, at any point, if you have any questions about the process, about the cases that come before you, those questions would come to me. And so Ben and I, Attorney Becker and I, have kind of an ethical wall that we set up within our office, you know, since obviously we're both work for the city attorney's office. We don't communicate about the cases, about the facts of the cases, about the vendors that appear in front of us. The only thing that we might ever discuss is process or, you know, scheduling, things that have no impact on the case. So we kind of maintain that ethical wall between the two of us. So I don't know if you want to introduce yourself, Ben. Have you met members of this body yet before, Ben?
I don't believe I've met the majority of them. I know Martha and I have exchanged some emails, and I think maybe I was on a call with Norm and Jason as well. But my name is Ben. I'm taking over this role from Attorney Donker, Jason. And yeah, so I'm here basically to soak up as much as I can prior to the June 9th hearings. Both Adriana and Jason have done a great job so far of giving me materials to look over prior to and kind of preparation for getting the materials for the June 9th hearing. So I'll be prepared and ready to go, and I'll be sure to ask those with answers questions very likely prior to the hearing. So yeah, nice to meet you all.
Thank you. So I will just go ahead and share the outline that I prepared, and some of you have probably seen this before. If I'm able to share my screen. Oh, actually, I cannot. Is it possible for you to give me permission to share my screen?
Yes, you should be good to go now.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And like I said, I typically just kind of read through these materials. If you have any questions, feel free to interrupt me at any time. And if you have questions after, please feel free to reach out to me. It's not inappropriate for you to contact me if you have any questions about process or about the ordinance, as long as we're not discussing the cases specifically prior to the hearing. It's totally fine for you to contact me with any questions. So, and I know most of you have participated in these hearings previously, but so these hearings are coming up on June 9th. And these are essentially hearings for vendors who the Department of Civil Rights has determined is likely in violation of our affirmative action ordinance. So these are the contract compliance provisions of our affirmative action ordinance, and they're found in Madison General Ordinance 39.02 sub 9. And essentially, the language in the ordinance says that vendors or contractors, we sort of use those terms interchangeably, that within 30 days from the effective date of a contract or purchase order with the city, and prior to release of payment by the city, that all non-exempt vendors and suppliers are required to submit an approvable affirmative action plan. So vendors and suppliers have the option of completing either a model affirmative action plan that has been approved by the Common Council or their own plan that meets federal requirements. And so our ordinance authorizes the affirmative action division manager to approve these plans. And they do so through staff. You know, there's a number of staff that work in this particular area for the city. And so I'm not exactly sure, you know, who will be appearing at the hearing, but you will see testimony from Civil Rights Department staff, the folks that are in the affirmative action division, about these cases. There are certain exemptions in the ordinance. So essentially, the ordinance says, you know, if you receive $50,000 or more from the city in a calendar year, that you are required to submit an approvable affirmative action plan. And this could be through one very large purchase. It could be through, you know, we purchased $60,000 of software from your company, or it could be numerous smaller purchases that add up to $50,000 or greater in that particular year. And so once a contractor meets that threshold of spending for the city, then they are required to submit an affirmative action plan to the city. And there are some exceptions to that. So there's an exemption for contracts or purchase orders with individuals, partnerships, corporations, associations, or other entities that have fewer than 15 employees. So an understanding that a smaller vendor might have a harder time complying with our affirmative action requirements. And so if they have 14 or fewer employees, they can file an exemption with the Department of Civil Rights and not have to, in fact, submit the plan. And again, there is that $50,000 threshold. So there's an exemption if you spend, or if the city spends less than $50,000 with a particular contract, or contractor, excuse me, then they do not have to submit a plan as well. So, and understanding that smaller purchases, so we try to focus efforts on where the city is really spending a lot of dollars. And so that $50,000 threshold is where this requirement kicks in. Contracts for goods, supplies, or services necessitated by or resulting from an emergency situation, as determined by the mayor with the advice of the council where possible, including those executed as an emergency services contract. This is not something that we see very frequently. This would have to be a situation where the, you know, it's not just you know, IT saying, well, this was an emergency, we needed this product. This is the mayor actually making a declaration that there is an emergency and that these purchases are necessary. So I think in all my years, I don't think I've seen that come up, but it is an exception. So if a vendor fails to comply, if a vendor fails to submit a plan or submit a plan that the department finds approvable, then the Affirmative Action Appeals Subcommittee may do any or all of the following. And so that's what these hearings are scheduled for. Essentially, the department is putting this vendor on notice and saying, you have not complied with our plan. And these hearings get scheduled essentially for the department to prove that they have not complied with submitting an approved affirmative action plan. And so you, as members of the body, will essentially, hear these cases in a hearing, and then you get to make a determination as to whether you believe this particular contractor violated our ordinance. And the remedies under the ordinance are that the contract can be canceled, terminated, or suspended in whole or in part. And you can also declare that the contractor is ineligible for further city contracts for a period of 2 years or until the affirmative action requirements are met. In the ordinance, there's also language that allows, and this is kind of a question that's come up with staff quite a bit. But there is language in the ordinance that says that you can order recovery on behalf of the city from the contractor 0.5% of the contract award price for each week that the party fails or refuses to comply in the nature of liquidated damages. So that wouldn't exceed 5% of the total contract price or $10,000, whichever is less. So you will see during the course of the hearing, you kind of have two decisions to make. You have a decision to make as to whether you believe that the contractor actually violated the ordinance. And then you have a decision to make as to what the penalties are if you do, in fact, find that they violated the ordinance. And these are the penalties that are available under the ordinance. So, as far as the actual procedure of how the hearing works, like I said, this is a lot like a trial. So, we have like a prosecutor, which is the department, and we have a defendant or a defense, which is the contractor. So this is a and you are to be the fact finder, right? You are to be the decision maker about whether you believe either the department or the contractor. And so what I will say is, even though it is like a trial, it is a lot less formal. You will see that most of these contractors come in without attorneys. It is usually an employee of the business. Sometimes it's an owner, sometimes it's a high-level employee. Sometimes it's not a high-level employee. Some folks are very, very prepared. Some folks have, testimony prepared, or they might have exhibits that they want to show you. And some folks are far less prepared. And some folks really sort of sometimes maybe don't even have a clear understanding of the ordinance or what the requirements were or sort of what they're at this hearing to do. So we try to give folks a decent amount of leeway. So, because again, a lot of these folks are not represented by an attorney, and we have an understanding that, the department has an attorney, the appeals committee has an attorney, and some of these contractors will come in without an attorney. So not that we need to be, assisting them or proving their case for them in any way. That would not be appropriate. But we do allow some, typically allow some leeway in terms of how they want to go about presenting their case and the questions and such that they want to ask. Ultimately, a lot of the responsibility of controlling the hearing is going to be with the chair. And so the chair presides over the hearing. Again, the parties may be represented by an attorney, but there's no requirement that they be. Witnesses will get sworn in by the chair and will testify under oath. So there is that piece of formality to this type of hearing. The Affirmative Action Division, oh, sorry, I said represented by Jason Donker. Now where you the commission will, or the division, excuse me, will be represented by Ben Becker, has the burden of proof and will present their case first. So this may include testimony of witnesses and the presentation of exhibits as evidence. Again, the witnesses will be sworn in. I think, Ryan, will you be acting as the chair in this particular hearing?
I think it depends when it's held. If I'm still on committee, I think so.
Okay. Well, it'll be June 9th.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, so I know that you've presided over these hearings before, but if there's any questions, so Ryan will swear in any witnesses. They're typically asked to state their name for the record, and if it's and usually a title, so we're aware of who this person is that's testifying. And they can testify in a narrative format, which means they can just sort of tell their story. They can tell their side of the situation. Or they can testify in more of a question and answer format. That might depend if they have a lawyer. If you have a lawyer and you're testifying, you're typically testifying in a manner in which the attorney is asking you a question and you're responding. So that can vary quite a bit. You'll just have to, we just kind of, like I said, we practice some patience and allow them to kind of tell their story in the manner that they choose to do so. Any evidence shall be moved by the presenting party into the record. So anything that somebody presents gets to be a part of this record, right? The chair would ask the opposing party if there's any objections to the admission of the evidence, and the chair makes the determination of whether the evidence is to be admitted. So there's a statute here that governs the admission of evidence. Essentially, it says if the evidence has any probative value, like if it has any value to the case, it probably should be admitted. It's a looser, it's kind of a looser standard for the admission of evidence, again, because this is a slightly less formal hearing. So after the completion of witness testimony and the admission of any exhibits, the chair will ask the party if they rest their case, and that's typically the city first. And then the contractor will have the opportunity then to present their case. And they follow a similar procedure. They can present their testimony, they can present any exhibits they choose to present. And then the department, the Affirmative Action Division of the Civil Rights Department, has the opportunity to provide any rebuttal evidence that they want to. So they kind of get a second kick at the cat at that point because they have the burden of proof. And again, because these hearings are a little bit less formal, typically we do allow members to ask any questions that they have. That again is at the discretion of the chair. But if you have any questions for the vendors or for the Affirmative Action Division staff when they're testifying, we do typically permit members of the body to ask any questions. So after both parties have rested, the Affirmative Action Appeals Subcommittee may move into closed session. And you do that essentially so that you can deliberate these cases without any influence, and you get, the sort of privacy of being able to have an open and honest conversation with members of the body. So if you do go into closed session, the only folks that are permitted in the room are members of the Affirmative Action Appeals Subcommittee, myself as your lawyer, and then one staff person who's running the meeting. And so all of the contractors, the members from the Affirmative Action Division who have testified, they will all get removed from the virtual room, so as to give you sort of the most private space to deliberate the case. The burden of proof is by the preponderance of the evidence. So that essentially means the greater weight of the evidence. So you are to make a determination if you feel the Affirmative Action Division has proven by a preponderance of the evidence that the contractor did not, in fact, comply with the ordinance. Going into closed session, this is just a procedural, sort of thing that we have to follow. When you want to go into closed session, we do have to have a motion made and have a member of the body cite to this particular statute that allows us to go into closed session to deliberate a case. And then you have to have a roll call vote. Sometimes we forget, folks forget that, but I'm there to remind folks that the vote, goes the way that it should go. And it's your totally your choice if you want to go into closed session or not. Typically they do, but there's no requirement that the body go into closed session. After convening in closed session and making the determination, the body will then return to open session again by a motion and a roll call vote. And then at that point, all the folks that were required to leave the room come back into the room. So that can be staff and contractors again, come back into an open session virtual room. And then we essentially just announce the decisions. So we announce if, the body agreed with the department and believes that the contractor violated the ordinance, and then you determine the penalties. Or you find for the vendor and say that you don't believe that the contractor violated the ordinance. And then the meeting adjourns. And after that, based on your determinations, staff and I will work together to draft orders for the chair's signature, and those physical orders get sent out to the contractors. Contractors do have the right to appeal a determination to the circuit court. So obviously, just want to stress the importance of the determination that you're making, that it's a sound decision based on the facts and the evidence that were presented to you, and that we follow all the proper procedures we can follow. So there's no procedural reasons for anybody to appeal a decision. But again, contractors do have a right to appeal your determination, to a judge. So, and that is it, really. And if you were to get appeal, if a decision of the body were to get appealed, that would be my office that would handle any appeal. It wouldn't involve any of you. It would essentially just be the city attorney defending the decision of the body. And that has happened before. But it's fine. Are there any questions about anything? Okay. Well, I will distribute the outline to staff and make sure that you all are able to get a copy of it. And again, if there's any questions that come up even during the hearing, you can feel free to ask me as we go along. Ben, did you have anything else or any questions or anything you wanted to say?
Really, I guess my only main burning question would be, because I am a notorious overpreparer, is when I am forwarded the information related to the businesses that are scheduled for hearing on June 9th.
Oh, that would be a good question for staff. Are you, who have you, have, is Martha, sorry, is Martha on? Oh, you are on, Martha. Hi.
I am here. Ben, can you repeat that?
Yeah, I'm just wondering when I'm going to be forwarded information related to the businesses that are scheduled to have their hearing on June 9th so I can adequately prepare.
So we schedule a meeting with you a couple of weeks before the let me back up. We send a hearing notice. We'll be sending a hearing notice. I believe the day is the day after Memorial Day. So we have to send it out at least 10 days before the hearing dates. And so if I can bring up my calendar, I've got that scheduled for. It's either the 27th or 28th that will go out.
Okay.
And then that week we will be, I'm planning to set up some time to go over things with you at that time.
Okay. Sounds good. I appreciate the time frame.
Yeah, thanks.
Martha, can I ask as well, how many vendors do we have scheduled as of now, or that are non-compliant as of now?
So right now, and this was going to be part of my report, but we can
Oh, so yeah,
segue into
we can
there
wrap
if you
up. We
want.
can wrap up my portion and move on to the next agenda item, and I can stay on for that too.
Okay. So let me just bring this up here. I've got the wrong thing in front of me. Here we go. So on Wednesday, the 7th, I think it was on Wednesday, the 7th, I sent out a demand to cure default of contract notice via email and via certified mail to 54 companies. I lost count when I was, well, I was counting, but so seven or eight of them, of those 54 are now approved. Eight are incomplete, have submitted an AA plan application, a full AA plan application that is incomplete. Six are in the queue for processing. Seven of them have started something but have not submitted the actual application yet. 25 have not submitted anything at all. About 12 of those 25 have not been in touch with our office at all. So far, one is going out of business, and one told us today that they refuse to do the application.
Yeah.
And also, I sent out an email. We send out a courtesy email first, usually. I sent that out on April 11th.
Okay.
And that went to, I want to say that went to 77 entities, you know, companies or individuals or whatever.
Okay. I think, we can talk about this, further as it gets a little closer, but I know we have had previous years where we've done two hearing dates, if the numbers are high enough. Because I think, I don't know, I guess I anecdotally in my head, I'm like, oh, anything over 10, we're already going to be there a couple hours. We might want to have a threshold of like how many we're willing to hear on one day and maybe schedule another one if it comes to that. But I know a lot of them tend to fall off, as time goes on too.
Yeah, a lot of folks will do it at the last minute.
Sure. Yep, Norman.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay? All right, great. Thank you for the presentation, Adriana, and Ben, thank you for being here. I wanted to mention to the commission and to you all that we might be asking for some flexibility around the actual hearing date. It's coming up pretty quickly, and we do have a number of firms, as Martha mentioned, that we're trying to help, get into compliance versus actually coming to the hearing. And we've got some additional affirmative action plans that are priority that we also need to get some resolution to. And so I think we're keeping the June 9th date for now, but I guess I wanted to ask, if we needed to push that date back some, if there was flexibility within the group, it would certainly be, a time that would work for the appeal subcommittee members and staff and the assistant city attorneys. But I just wanted to query the group and just let you know that that might be a plan B.
Sure. When will the turnover occur? It sounds like Ryan, your tenure is ending. Are there other folks that will no longer be on the body?
I think my term is up sometime in July. I'm not sure when.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can be flexible, of course, if you guys need to more time to prepare. Or, to get folks into compliance.
Okay. I think we're going to proceed with that as plan A, but I just wanted to let you know early, in case we need a plan B.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so any further discussion? Seeing none, can we move to the Residency Preference Program? Or I'm sorry, Affirmative Action Commission recruitment. Giselle?
Yes. Hi, everyone, again. So I'll be sharing my screen so that we go over, as promised, the brochure for the Affirmative Action Commission. So let me go ahead and do that. Give me one second.
I'm gonna jump off since there's nothing further for me, but thank you, everybody.
Thanks, you all.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, can you all see my screen?
Yes.
Good. All right, so again, this is kind of like a brochure. It'll only be 2 pages, so front to back. And this will be the front page. So again, this is just like your general Affirmative Action Commission first pager to kind of say that we're seeking members for the commission. And then the other side has more in-depth information about the commission itself. So prior, I don't know if you'll remember, but prior to this, the setup of this was a bit different. It was more so like a bigger paragraph. So we decided to make it a little bit more readable and incorporate more plain language. We decided to do bullet points so that the information is a lot more digestible this way. So we just have basic information about the commission itself, and then we also have this little paragraph about the subcommittee, which will be the hearing that we just currently talked about. And then this is a hyperlink to the if I click on it, it'll take them directly to the legislative page where people can apply for commissions. And then of course we have the contact information here. I will send this to you all after the meeting, but I think what we're trying to do here is we're trying to share this within your trusted networks as opposed to sharing it broadly like on social media or email listservs, et cetera. So more so trusted networks and we can talk more about what that means, like Norm or Jasmine, if you have any input on that or anything else to add. But yeah, I just wanted to present this to you all. Like I said, I'll follow up in the email and attach this so that we can go ahead and start spreading the word. But do you all have any initial thoughts or questions?
I just want to start by saying great job. It looks really good. And thanks for all your hard work. And I'm super excited to be able to start to share it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'll stop sharing my screen now, but that's all I have for AAC recruitment. Like I said, if Chair Jasmine or Norm have anything else to add, please go ahead.
I don't think I have anything else. Norm, do you?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, and I also want to say thank you to Giselle for the great work on the brochure. Once we share it out, excuse me, we'll send it to some organizations in our network. We're thinking those organizations that whose missions may align with affirmative action, and we certainly if you're seeking to share it out further. We might have some recommendations with regard to whom or what organizations might be appropriate. Just some thoughts around that, and then we can certainly answer any questions that you might have. But yeah, looking forward to getting more folks engaged with the commission.
Awesome. Thank you. Any questions? All right. So it looks like next on the agenda is a residency preference program. Norm, is that you?
Well, I think typically yes, but I don't really have updates regarding the RPP at this point in time. I think we're Still laying some foundation with regard to our raise program, and then need to talk with policymakers about, what the appropriate next steps might be, as it relates to a program like the residency preference program that would more would structure more local labor in our projects.
Awesome. Thank you. Any questions? All right. So next is the equity analysis and landmark review. Responses from stakeholders. Norm, is that you?
Yep, that's me too.
Okay.
And so that's another one I think we're keeping on the as a standard agenda item. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think we brought this up the last time. And since then, I did reach out to our planning staff. I think the thought when we talked about it at the Affirmative Action Commission the last time was, like there was some equity analysis that planning was doing, and whether or not they wanted folks from the commission or from the department to assist. Well, it turns out it's the other way around. There, I think, was actually an idea. I don't know if it was a full effort, but at least an idea that the department or the commission would conduct an equity analysis with regard to landmarks, making sure that there's equitable representation among facilities or buildings, places in the city that are designated as landmarks. And there were staff in planning that I think was contacted about that. And so I contacted the same planning staff, and they have stated that they're still committed to being a part of that, and they stand at the ready, that they're ready to be a part of an equity analysis if and when that's something that we go forward with. So I think that Tracy Lomax, the Affirmative Action Division Manager, was leading that idea. And so Tracy's actually returning from leave this coming Monday. And so I know she's going to, be progressively taking things on. We're not just going to dump everything on her. And so, but this will be one of the things that I bring to her to figure out, where she wants to include that in her list of assignments and priorities. So I think we'll keep it on the agenda. I think it's a good thing for us to keep on the agenda, that it'll need to be designed and developed a little more before we actually engage.
Awesome, thank you. Are there any future agenda items to be added? All right. Hearing none, let's talk to get the report from Alder Duncan.
Thank you so much, Chair. Just one thing to update everyone on. So, as some may know, the 2026 capital budget and operating budget season has kicked off. We have the 2026 requests from agencies in for the capital budget. There's going to be a presentation done by the finance department at the upcoming council meeting on the 20th. However, they also are doing similar to what the Alders did last year, with regards to going out into the community and just having budget sessions so that individuals are able to understand and learn what is going on with the city budget. Those are scheduled already. They are going to be in the month of June. The first one is on June 4th and at the Central Library, and it starts at 5:45. There is then one on June 11th at Warner Park. That one also starts at 5:45. June 16th at Sequoia Library, 5:45. June 18th at Piney Library, 5:45 there also, and then on June 24th, the Black Business Hub is where they're going to be doing just the budget listening session, so everyone has an opportunity to at least know what is being presented, what the mayor has requested from the different agencies when they are starting to prepare the budgets for 2026. And that process will occur where we, the Common Council, will be looking and approving the budget in November. So we do have a while until that occurs, but just being able to get ahead of it. Everything is out there on the finances website for the city. If you want to just look through the different agencies' requests for the capital budget requests, and that's all that we have right now from Common Council.
All right, thank you, Alder Duncan. Next is a report from the Director of Department of Civil Rights, Norm.
All right, thank you. Trying to think, don't know that I have a whole lot to contribute tonight in terms of in addition to what we've already discussed. Let's see. I think in this space, you all know about a lot of the challenges. With regard to the programs that we have in the Department of Civil Rights, and in particular the area of affirmative action. And so we are keeping in contact with our colleagues around the city, regionally, and across the country to make sure that we have the knowledge that's at the forefront of any changes. And always doing a temperature check to see how our colleagues are doing, feeling. And I'll tell you, the prevailing position that municipalities and other organizations are taking is that we're continuing with the good work. We know that we're in the city of Madison, that we're on good legal ground. And so we're going to continue doing this work. There are some things that are happening around us. There are some very serious changes that are happening in adjacent states that are impacting similar programs. And so we're talking with those colleagues about what they're doing. And how they're weathering the storm, and anticipating if something like that comes to Wisconsin or even to Madison or Dane County. But I'm very encouraged. Attended the Urban League summit last week, and heard from a lot of different levels of government, elected officials, community leaders, and like I said, the prevailing thought is that we're all in this together. We're going to support each other, and we're going to continue to do the work. Mayor Rose Conway has mentioned that we're really going to focus on making sure that we serve the folks that need it the most. So I'm encouraged by that, and but yet, we keep a vigilant eye on everything that's happening. But feeling like, there's very good support, and and so when I talk about our colleagues, I'm talking about UW-Madison, I'm talking about the city of Beloit, I'm talking about our state, some state agencies. I know there's a challenge currently against the Wisconsin Department of Administration and their Minority Business Enterprise Program. But actually, that reminds me, I need to reach out to my colleague there and see what we can do to support them. But as I mentioned, we're encouraged, and we're going to continue doing the good work. In terms of other and new things or things that are going on in the department, I guess I don't have a whole lot of other things to report. You know, contract wise, we'll be starting to, I think they either are going to have or already had the groundbreaking for the Imagination Center on the east side of Madison. And I don't know if it's been publicized, but that project did exceed the Small Business Enterprise goal that was set. And so very excited about that. A prominent minority business contractor, Meagle Construction, working on that project. And so there's good news, good things that are happening. Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, I should also report on the Aspire internship program. If you all are not familiar, it's the Affirmative Action Student Professionals and Residents program. And so it features good paying management level positions for the summer, 320 hours for our management interns. This year we had over 600 applications, and I think we had probably 20, 25 positions. And so, it was, I think it was kind of difficult for some of our agencies because we had to do, some agencies had as many as 30 applicants initially. And so we had to be creative about doing like first level phone screening interviews and getting it down to a more manageable number. But I believe all of the offers have been made at this point. We have two or maybe one and a half in the Department of Civil Rights. We have a communications intern to help us with our marketing. That's always been an area of struggle for us is, you know, communications and marketing. And so we're actually able to collaborate with engineering, the engineering division last year, and their public information officer helped us create our communication strategy plan. And so the intern will help us put some meat on those bones that we've developed. And then we're sharing an intern with the Economic Development Division, their Office of Business Resources. And so we have an intern this year that will focus on the Associates in Commercial Real Estate program, or the ACRE program, that teaches underrepresented folks how to thrive in commercial real estate. And so so that should be exciting. That's a program, it's currently run out of Milwaukee, but they have a certain percentage of seats for individuals from Madison to participate in that program. And so we sponsor, we invest in sponsor that program. And so the intern's gonna help us in thinking through improvements to that program and what we can do locally, to bring more of the program to Madison. Right now, all of the participants really get the best of both worlds. They get the to understand how commercial real estate is done in the Milwaukee area and how it's done in the Madison area. And so we're just thinking of how we can do more engagements physically in Madison. So the intern will help us with that. And then they'll also help us with thinking through the property management aspect of development. You all have probably heard, excuse me, in the news, different developments in Madison where, they might tend to be off of the beaten path and not have all of the amenities or services that residents need. And then it's difficult for the property managers to really provide, what the residents need. And so the intern is going to help us think through a planning program for property managers. So they can you know, these properties can be adequately planned for to make sure the amenities are in place, and then how property managers can better support residents. You know, it's one thing to develop a building, invest in that commercial real estate, and it's something else to run it, you know, as an enterprise. And so we want to assist our you know, burgeoning acre developers with that particular skill set. I know I said I didn't have much and I just keep talking, so maybe I'll pause there. Oh, we do have one other quick thing. We do have also a Wanda Fulmore intern that will be joining us. So we're going to be, the summer, we're going to have lots of folks in the office. And that said, you know, I don't know if this body knows that we're moving. Our office is moving later in the year. So we're up on the fifth floor of the City County building, and we'll be moving to the first floor of the City County building. If you can imagine walking in to the left is where the parks office used to be. And so that's the space that that the Department of Civil Rights will be moving into. I think we're almost doubling our square footage. We'll have a much more expansive break area. Like, you know, right now we just have a little kitchenette and so folks don't really have somewhere to sit, you know, to take their lunch. We'll have much more of an open space, a lot more natural light that comes into the office for everyone. And we'll have some dedicated space for our equal opportunities hearings. You know, when we have those hearings, it's important that the parties can caucus separately. And so we'll have spaces for that. And we'll have a comfort room that's a part of that, giving some much needed space to new mothers or really anyone else that needs a little bit of time away. So, yeah, let me pause there and see if there's any questions that I can answer. Oh, the move should be happening late this year, probably December. I didn't know if I gave a timeline.
Awesome. Thank you, Norm. That was beautiful. And just I too want to say, I think I speak for everyone, that we are here. And like, we appreciate that you're working hard and doing all these things during this really tough time, and that we're here to share support as well. So thank you for the hard work that you guys do.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely. And then will you do the affirmative action?
I think I just report? Did.
So you did it all? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's probably included. Yeah, I don't, you know, I talked a little bit about projects. I don't know that there, and you, of course, we talked about the hearing. So I don't know that there's much outside of that that I can talk about. So,
okay. Did anybody have any questions? All right. So I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Looks like we're ready to adjourn. See everybody next month.
Bye, everyone.